Jeffrey, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Stephen. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I hope you don't mind us bringing you in slightly early. We saw you sat there looking extremely dapper.
Oh, thank you.
It would be a wasted opportunity if we didn't get more time with you. Maybe you could let our listeners and viewers know exactly what it is you do, what keeps you busy.
Well, I'm a private investigator here in California. I live in Los Angeles with my wife. And my blog's called the Scientology Money Project. So I cover Scientology crime, lies, legal matters. It's ScientologyMoneyProject.com. And that's a long story. Yeah.
So I believe you're married to an ex-member of the Church of Scientology. Is that right?
Yes. My wife, Karen De La Carriere, she was at one time, she was in the Sea Org for 20 years. And she was at one time married to Heber Gensch, who was the president of the Church of Scientology International for, 40 years. And, you know, their son tragically died at age 27 in 2012. I thought it should have been a negligent homicide. And it was due to Scientology's doctrine of disconnection. So that's when I began my blog. I spent 30 years in corporate, Stephen, and you learn a lot about money, finance, intrigue, why corporations rule the world. I worked for two very big multinationals. So I used my skills. Nothing can bring back Alexander Gensch. But, you know, when you've lost a family member due to what you think is a criminal organization, you work to set things straight, to get a sense of justice. So that's why I began my blog, to explain to the public how Scientology has constructed its history, cover the active crimes in which it's engaged. For example, the recent Danny Masterson case. He was a Scientologist, and the church was... I watched both criminal trials. I was there when he was convicted and handcuffed. And I don't know what words you can use on YouTube, but they were sexual assault, in which he drugged the women. He was convicted on two counts. And he's currently in Corcoran State Prison. And so, you know, the going back, the way Hubbard constructed the church, that was 20 years of cover-up, security checks, interrogations, trying to make Masterson's victims, the Jane Does, we call them, the victims. I'm sorry, the criminals, the perpetrators. So when you start to take apart, and part of the work I do as a private investigator is I do investigate religious cults and undue influence, coercion, manipulation, holding people against their will, labor trafficking. So you start getting into this really complex multinational criminal syndicate that's engaged. I found, for example, Stephen, I have found Russian mob money going into a Scientologist-owned private equity fund that I've investigated, and they were arrested, and criminal trial begins in June. The word right now for your listeners is... Danny Masterson is in Corcoran State Prison here in California, and there's a gang in the prison that's put a hit on him. That's green-lighted a hit. So that's something that's that the internet is following.
All right. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, Jeffrey. So thank you for that.
There is.
First of all, so that's great. So I mean, one of the things that resonated with me there that you said that you spent a lot of time in corporate and you understand the kind of shady, I think you alluded to this kind of shady business dealings, how money's moved, what it's used for. And obviously people are very interested in the finances of Scientology for this reason. There's a lot of suspicions, sure, allegations. And I suppose what I just wanted to get as an overview from you, I mean, is this something that is unique to Scientology, this kind of way of taking money and using it for purposes that perhaps people wouldn't expect? Or is this kind of a general thing that happens with organized religion once it gets to a certain level, do you think? I mean, you look at people like Joel Osteen and the private jets and the televangelists and these huge mega churches. Is this all the same kind of thing, or is Scientology a special case?
I would say when you get to a certain level, the Christian evangelicals in America have an enormous amount of wealth, power, because you need money for money to translate to power, political power. And the Christian evangelicals, and I come out of that faith tradition, I'm just saying they began long ago. They put President Reagan into office. They put many presidents into office. And then the Latter-day Saints, for example, the Mormons, they uncovered some former members uncovered $150 billion plus in a cash pile, hoarding $150 billion USD. So yeah, when you, it is common to all religions. Scientology is especially pernicious because they are a wealth extraction machine. The Latter-day Saints want 10% of your, you know, annual income. Scientology wants everything, all it can get, and it wants your children for its Sea Org. It does engage in labor trafficking. It brings in minors. So every when you investigate a religious organization, everyone is different, but there are common characteristics, and one of them is taking as much money as you can, covering up crimes internally, and using child labor. It's terrible. So there are common characteristics, but what's unique to Scientology is, I would say, the extent and rapaciousness of its greed and its internal violence. And the I don't use the word brainwashing. That's an older construct. You can use more sophisticated constructs of coercion, undue influence. Scientology uses contracts. One thing I cover on my blog that I try to educate the public on, there's a misapprehension, Stephen. You think if you had $50,000, you could walk into Scientology and say, here, audit me? No, you have to sign four contracts. They strip you of your civil and legal rights, force you into binding arbitration if you have a complaint. So you, when you watch this merger of corporate business law and religion, and that's becoming more and more the case, where they strip you and they strip you of your legal rights going as a member. And that's what Scientology does, is it takes away your power to sue. You can't speak out. You don't own your own information. And often if you leave, you're fair gamed. That's a term L. Ron Hubbard created, meaning you're subject to attack, character assassination. And that's one reason Leah Remini is suing the Church of Scientology. They've engaged in online defamation to her to such an extent. She's alleging several torts, including it's harmed her opportunities to earn income. So Scientology is in a league of its own because of its maliciousness. It's savagery. You know, when I left the church I belonged to as a young man at 21, they didn't come after me. You know, I did a little bit of Scientology in the early 80s, Stephen, and a little bit as a public member. I wasn't Sea Org like my wife. And the things that I've had to go through, it's sort of they don't never want to let you go.
Okay, that's a great answer. So one of the things that really struck me there is this idea that they can take away your civil liberties and your rights from you. I mean, how do they do that in a way where they're able to kind of contravene First Amendment rights, for instance? The people would say, you know, America has a very strong constitution on freedom of expression, the First Amendment. How is it that the Scientology are able to get around that?
Well, the First Amendment cuts both ways, Stephen, and that's a great question. You can, in America, for example, when I was in corporate, and I worked primarily for Siemens and Philips, those were the two corporations, so those are big multinationals. When I went into a negotiation or began dealing, and I dealt business to business, my scientific lighting expert by training, I would sign a non-disclosure agreement. And I'm sure you've signed many of those in the course of your life. And a non-disclosure agreement, those are legal and they're enforceable. And that means you and I, if we're going to do a deal, we don't talk about each other's business. Okay. So let's say if we're going to do a deal worth $25 million. We sign non-disclosure agreements to protect our mutual interests, right? So when a church does that, you're not allowed to talk about what goes on. But also, if there's a conflict, we sign binding arbitration where you can't take the issue you have with Scientology. You can't sue them in a court of law. So in America, it's perfectly legal to sign away your freedom of speech. It's legal to agree to enter into binding arbitration. But then it goes beyond that. It goes into agreements where you agree, like if you were to, some of Scientology's processes are quite intense, and people do have psychiatric episodes during these very intense processes. And really it's things that shouldn't be done, especially to anyone under 21. I'm very much agree with the that this is something you shouldn't expose children to. But you can sign away your legal rights in America. Are these contracts unconscionable? Yes. Are they enforceable? That depends on the case. In some trials, they've been found not to be enforceable. So Scientology will go up to and beyond the edge of the law, and you got to take it to court to fight it out. And that's the answer, unfortunately. And so religion is an evolving body of law. In America, religions have great protections and laws. For example, in America, you don't have to pay religious workers the minimum wage. They're not subject to overtime. They have no workplace protections. They surrender those. So these vows of poverty that religious workers take are actually a way that the churches exploit religious workers by not paying them. Sea Org workers in Scientology, you can work there 40 years. You get no pension. There's no home for you when you're aged, like a lot of other churches have. You get nothing. You can literally be kicked to the curb after 40 years of service and be given what's called a freeloader bill for $100,000. So it's an unholy fusion of American contract law and religious protections. And it gets toxic. Yeah.
Okay. At this point, I just want to remind our viewers and listeners to get some questions in for Jeffrey on Scientology. Anything you've ever wanted to ask, get it in, and I'll put the most intelligent questions to him. I mean, you did allude to at the start of the show, and I'm sure this is well documented, and you spoke about in other places about, you know, a personal loss to you that you attribute to this toxicity you talk about Scientology. And I mean, I don't want to kind of cross any barriers with you, but if you're comfortable to speak about that, I would appreciate hearing exactly what happened.
Well, what happened, as I said, my wife, Karen De La Carriere, she was married to Heber Jensch, who was the president of the church, right? So when Karen publicly left in 2010, she was declared a suppressive person by the church. And when the Church of Scientology expels you and declares you a suppressive person, you're subject to their doctrine called fair game. That is, you can be the first thing they do is they disconnect you from all your friends and family. So Karen was disconnected from her son Alexander, and he was ordered not to speak to her or have anything to do with her. She was, everyone in the church disconnected from Karen, although she'd been in for 40 years. So when Alexander was 27, he came here to LA. He was living in Texas with his wife. He came here looking for work. He got very sick. He was staying at his in-laws' home here in the San Fernando Valley. And instead of taking him to urgent care, he was running 103 temperature. They let him lay in bed and burn up over the weekend with a fever, and he'd been taking some medications for, he'd been in an automobile accident. Basically, he died. He died, and we didn't know it at the time. And a couple things, had Alexander not been disconnected from his mother, we could have taken him, I mean, we have money, we could have taken him to a doctor, you know, antibiotics would have saved him. He died of pneumonia, as it turned out. And in some states, let me go back. The church didn't even have the decency or the humanity to tell Karen that her son had died. We found out through a friend who took a great risk, was still in the church. Aaron Smith Levin texted Karen. We didn't know his name, but Aaron's a YouTuber who covers Scientology, and Aaron had the decency to say that your son has died, and that put us a few days behind the church. Because we went to the coroner, we went to LAPD, we had to verify it. And the church had gotten involved. They have a criminal defense attorney. They went to the LAPD. So they were not going to tell us anything about what happened. And the LAPD detectives were not friendly. That's a different story about LAPD's relationship to Scientology. It's disgraceful, the Hollywood division's relationship to LAPD. So all Karen wanted to do was to see her dead son and kiss him goodbye. And the church made sure that wouldn't happen. And Stephen, that was the most sadistic thing you can imagine. Church of Scientology not allowing a mother to kiss her dead son goodbye, her dead child goodbye. She was Karen and Heber's only child. So when that happened, and when I had to, when they did that to my wife, I said, I don't know what I can do as one person, but I'm going to do something to help dismantle this monster. So that's what happened. I think Alexander's in-law should have been charged with negligent homicide. But again, in American law, in some states, they would have been charged with depraved indifference. But because Alexander was 27 and not 17, the coroner told me if he'd been 17, it would have been negligent homicide charge. But because he was an adult, there's no requirement to take someone to a hospital. I think there's an, I think that's appalling law. There should be a moral obligation, certainly in a legal, but that's what happened. They, I feel that the church got away with murder. And so when you want to, you take that pain and that anger and you convert it into something. And that's why I started my blog, Karen started speaking out on her YouTube. And that's what's so good about social media, Stephen, is anyone with a microphone and an internet connection can have a voice. That's why I very much appreciated you and Sean and you having me on your show to talk about it and to talk about what I do on my blog.
It's entirely our pleasure, Jeffrey, and thank you for sharing that with us. That's a, you know, horrible thing for anyone to have to go through, and you know, unconscionable acts by the church to deny a mother those last moments, for sure. So I can kind of really appreciate you taking an extra keen focus on the Church of Scientology and not wanting to, them to get away with things like this again. And you did mention something there which what was not really surprising, but I don't think we've covered on this show before, and it's this kind of link with the LAPD. So obviously Scientology, I suppose, gets this really big interest from the average individual because of its association with celebrity, you know, Tom Cruise, John Travolta, yeah, sure. Will Smith, those types. And obviously LA is a big part of that scene. So, I mean, if you are willing to talk about that, if it's not detracting too much about what you came to talk about, maybe it might be worth just mentioning how the LAPD kind of colludes in a way.
Well, I'm going to isolate it specifically to the Hollywood division of the LAPD. I'll give you an example. In the Danny Masterson sexual assault case, LAPD knew they had a problem with Scientology in Hollywood. You can Google Scientology LAPD and you'll see pictures of, excuse me, Sean. I'm sorry, Stephen.
That's okay. Take time.
In the Danny Masterson sexual assault case, LAPD knew it had a problem with the Hollywood division. And so it ordered all the files to be transferred downtown to the major crimes unit. LAPD itself didn't want Hollywood. And I'll give you an example. Former CBS CEO Les Moonves, in 2016, a woman came into Hollywood LAPD station there in Wilcox to file a complaint of a sexual, you know, complaint against Les Moonves. The then captain of the LAPD Hollywood division, Captain Corey Palka, he got the report from the desk through the detectives. Now, Captain Palka had worked, he was called the glamour cop, tall, good-looking cop, right? And he instead of having his detectives investigate the complaint against Mr. Moonves, Captain Palka had worked off duty as a bodyguard and security for Les Moonves. And he didn't need it because CBS paid for Mr. Moonves' security detail, as all corporations pay for security for their CEOs and other execs, right? But Captain Palka worked off duty. So he called, this is the allegation, as I understand there's a grand jury. He called Les Moonves and says, hey, Les, we got a problem here. A woman just came in with a file to complain about you. So he actually gave information. Now, we have reason to believe, we meaning the community of of activists. Scientology has a doctrine called safe pointing. Well, they're big in LA. The biggest concentration of Scientologists in the world is here in LA. So it's in their interest to ingratiate themselves with the Los Angeles Police Department. That way, they hire off-duty LAPD to work at the Celebrity Center here. You know, I live 5 minutes from it. Karen and I, we're in Los Feliz, California. So they'll hire off-duty LAPD. And even where you live in you're in London, but in the city of London, one of the financial centers of the world. There's a story you can Google. It's on my blog. Scientology used Tom Cruise to infiltrate the City of London Police Department. The superintendent at that time, I believe, was Kevin Hurley. And so there's stories all over of them getting in with police departments by donating money. In this case, they donate to an auxiliary a fund for the LAPD Hollywood, and they use the Celebrity Center. And then that way, if anything goes down, it will bias the police to tend to think, hey, I've been to their Celebrity Center. They entertain me. They seem to be good people. They donate tens of thousands of dollars a year to our various funds. They can't be that bad. Or they might tip them off. Or if you're an LAPD officer and, you're making, say, $120,000 a year, but you can work overtime and bump it up to $160,000 by working security for Scientology. So that's kind of the problem, is they buy influence, they buy safety. It's like they want to cover themselves. And, when you develop relationships with cops, and I'm pro-law enforcement, don't get me wrong, but there are bad cops. And I think that Captain Polka may be indicted. They were in bed with the LA Sheriff's Department, Lee Baca. And, of course, he got in trouble. So they try to get... Hubbard's policy was to influence key decision makers and use whatever it takes. And that's what I think the case is at Hollywood LAPD. Okay. I don't want to say any more because there could possibly be a lawsuit, and there is an investigation. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Probably wise. So I mean, going back to the finances of Scientology, and a lot of people are very interested in that. There's been a lot of buzz specifically in the UK, or from a UK perspective, recently, because one of our politicians has officially made a request to the HMRC to look into the dealings of Scientology and see if there are any anomalies, any fraudulent activity, etc. I just wanted to get your opinion on this. I mean, who's responsible for this in terms of Scientology and what they're getting away with as far as paying taxes is concerned?
Well, the inquiry you mentioned, that's my friend Alexander Barnes Ross, another activist, just another young man there in London who used his talents and skills to push forward that inquiry. When you become a 501c3, that's the IRS code here in America, you have no financial transparency. Religions in America don't have to report how much money they have or how they spend it. So that's why Scientology was tax exempt when Dianetics began in 1950. The Church of Scientology began in 1954, and it was tax exempt. They lost their tax exemption in 1967, and through a series of machinations, they regained it in 1993. So when you have tax exemption in America, it's different than other countries. See, this is why I urged Alexander Barnes Ross to cover the UK. They're in the Commonwealth countries. They have an organization called COSRECI, the Church of Scientology Religious Education Corporation, Incorporated, and is based out of this small town in Australia. And it used an address where the fellow didn't even know his address was being used by this multi-billion-dollar cult. No, it's a true story. So Hubbard was very much opposed to paying income taxes. He wanted to keep every penny for himself, even though they use public services and they benefit by all the public infrastructure. They don't want to pay any taxes. So, but beyond just paying taxes in America, when you have those 501c3s, it makes it much harder to do any criminal investigation. And we saw that with the Catholic Church when they had their still ongoing scandals with I don't know, again, YouTube has sensitivities, but priests involved with children. That's cost the Catholic Church billions of dollars in lawsuits. But here in Los Angeles, when Cardinal Roger Mahoney was in, it took lawyers, police, the authorities, law enforcement, over 20 years, the Catholic Church fought to not disclose what it called priest penitent records. And that made a farce out of the entire thing. So you get a lot of special protections as a religion, financially, covering up internal crimes. You can use religious worker visas. For example, Scientology has brought in a disproportionate amount of people from Russia under religious worker visas, and they work for nothing in Clearwater, Florida, at their big base called Flagland Base. And they bring a lot of in from Mexico. So there's so many things you can get away with. Now, there's good churches and there's very bad churches. But I think that the Scientology is very bad. And what the Catholics did with their scandals, how they covered up, resisted, fought, that's part of a structural problem, because you do have freedom of religion, but then it becomes abusive. And that's an inherent trait when a church becomes corrupt, internal corruption, and then they begin to cover things up, and then they're compiling money, and they begin to need that money for legal defense, to buy people off, to pay off settlements, you know, quiet settlements. So it does become quite fraudulent. That's why so many people oppose, like me. I'm against churches having religious tax exemption. I think they should pay their fair share. There's no reason why a church should not, if it benefits from all the infrastructure, the police, fire, everything, there's no reason they shouldn't pay it. That's an issue on the side, but that's a fair issue to discuss. Should they just get a free check to not pay towards society from which they benefit?
No, I completely agree with you on that point. I suppose one thing that fascinates me specifically about Scientology is how it's managed to, you know, obtain such a large following. Because you look at the three great monotheisms, they were born, you know, thousands of years ago. It's very difficult to get the ultimate record of accounts. There's a lot of wiggle room for interpretation. That's why we have, you know, various denominations, offshoots, things like that. With Scientology, it was born in the full light of modernity. Rather, we have a full accounting of its inception, you know, L. Ron Hubbard as a fiction author, and people have access to the internet now. So how is it that people kind of fall into this trap of joining the church? No, you know, with the full story of this church's creation available to anyone who spends 5 minutes on Google.
Yeah, Stephen, that's a really interesting question. So let me unpack it in a couple different ways. First, when you note that Scientology was born in the full light of modernity, yes, except the internet didn't exist. So that helped it. The internet didn't exist. Because L. Ron Hubbard, if he started in 1995, he couldn't have gone as far as he did. Secondly, it's so interesting you'd mention L. Ron Hubbard and modernity. My wife actually was on L. Ron Hubbard. He went to sea in a ship called the Apollo for many years, and it cruised around the Mediterranean. My wife personally trained under L. Ron Hubbard to the highest level of auditor in the church you could be, which is called a Class 12K supervisor. Roughly speaking, that would be the equivalent of a cardinal in the Catholic Church. So she actually trained under Hubbard. There's people alive who knew Hubbard and trained under him, which is very fascinating, including Mike Rinder. And, you know, Leah Remini did her show to expose it. And she was a former celebrity member. So I'm going to ask you a question. How many, just because you're, you know, you're the man on the street I'm talking to on the internet, how many members do you think the Church of Scientology has?
Globally? Are we talking global?
Yes.
2 million.
It's 30 to 40,000.
Oh, okay. So, and to be honest, I reined in and made it a more conservative estimate, because I suspect it might be lower than I thought. So that's really, really interesting.
Well, and this goes to your point. And this is why I asked you the question, not to trifle with you in any way at all, but I was just genuinely curious. For a long time, Scientology said that it had 12 million members. And then it said 8 million. And the reason it lies, I just did a report. I'm on my blog, if you go there, I just posted a 300-page FBI investigation from 2010 on my blog. And the FBI, from public sources, they estimated in their internal documents, which have since come out through Freedom of Information, that the church had 8 to 12 million members. So Scientology wants the public, but especially law enforcement, taxing authorities, and the government to think that it's much larger than it is. When Mike Grinder and others left, other prominent leaders of the church, Mike was third in command of the church. Marty Rathbun left. He was second in command. When a lot of high-ranking people left, the real numbers started coming out, and there were mass resignations. So Scientology, a generous estimate would be about 40,000 members globally, okay, give or take, right? But it wants to make it look like it's so large. That's why it buys so much real estate and it does so much publicity. It wants you to make it think it's much larger than it is, because it tends to, you know, if you're the FBI and you're looking at an organization and you think it has 2 million people, you may think, well, that's a big church. They've got a lot of money. Should we go forward with this? And you might not want to. So if you know it has 30 to 40,000 members, and that's a very sophisticated guess that comes from, again, Aaron Smith Levin and other sources. So we know that it's shrinking. We know it's not as big as it is. And but Scientology wants to create this perception as massive. What brings a person into the Church of Scientology is the other question. For example, I'm asked, why do so many celebrities join the Church of Scientology? And, you know, I'll tell you why. Hubbard designed the intake system to appeal to whatever you need. So that you do this Oxford capacity analysis, this personality test, they call it, has nothing to do with Oxford. But Hubbard wanted you to think that it was some
kind
of science.
Sounds prestigious, doesn't it? It's all about them optics again.
Yes, Stephen, let's do your Oxford capacity analysis as if it was some computer designed. But it's just pure nonsense. Okay, it doesn't have a scientific basis. But being built around the psycho architecture, I call it, of Scientology, is designed to find your ruin. It's designed to zero in on your psyche. It's predatory. So let's say you had some secret, some horrible secret you were hiding, or something you felt you were weak in, just something that you wanted to fix, you wanted to work on about yourself, and it could be whatever, right? It's designed to zero in a predatory manner on what is bothering you, what you're hiding, where you feel weak with. And then the answer is always Scientology can help you with that. So you could take anything from you are... you know, you've done something horrendous, or you're ashamed, or you're embarrassed, and they'll zero in on that and say Scientology can help you with that. So you feel like there's some hope for you by using this Scientology. Hubbard promoted it as a science-based religion. It actually began as a nonprofit psychotherapeutic school based on Freudian psychotherapy, but Hubbard retooled it over the years for money and power and control. So if you're a celebrity, they'll say, well, take care of this problem that's really bothering you. Plus, Stephen, you get your own private mafia called Scientology's Office of Special Affairs. So if you get bothered, if something's bothering you, you'll have all these PIs in Scientology's Office of Special Affairs to go to make your problems go away. So if you had say, hey, look, I ran into this situation on the show, on the set, and these people are bothering me, it'll be like, we can take care of it. So there's a private mafia. There's also the glamour of being connected to Tom Cruise, you know, identifying at that level. Here in Hollywood, they'll go out to auditions, and they will recruit young actors who come here to LA wanting to be stars, and they'll say, Scientology can help you become a celebrity. We have all the comm lines. We have Tom Cruise. We have John Travolta. But the truth is, Stephen, there's no new celebrities who've joined Scientology in years. But to answer your question in a nutshell, it zeroes in on in a predatory manner on what you need. And it, if you want to be a star, it'll say, we can help you make a star. If you want to be wealthy, we can help you be wealthy. And it has a few, you know, they're one of their big social media influencers is Grant Cardone. And he's in private equity. He was doing a lot of shows with Brian Rose there in the UK for a while. So they'll inflate their size or apparent size through the use of people like Tom Cruise, Grant Cardone, but they're really not that big. And they don't have as much money as the Latter-day Saints by a damn sight.
Yeah, another religion kind of born in the day of, you know, the whole light of day that's still doing extremely well. So I wanted to get a few quick questions to you before we have to let you get back to your day.
Okay.
Some really thoughtful ones. So Lisa Sante has asked, has SPTV ruined Leah's case, Leah Remini? I'm hoping you know what that means. Has something happened with SPTV?
Yes. No, my opinion is absolutely not, because SPTV is not the court of law. LA Superior Court and SPTV are two different things. And when you get in a courtroom, what happens online is not relevant.
Okay, so it's not admissible.
And I don't want to get into this. It's a story, but basically, no, they haven't ruined Leah's case, in my opinion. No, the court of law, this is the same thing in Danny Masterson. There was so much press on Masterson. They wanted to know if that his attorneys wanted, you know, site bias. No, what goes online, and there's legitimate questions involved in that, and I just don't have time to address them.
Fair enough. Okay, let's quick fire some more then while we've got you. Fred Witherow has asked, is Scientology in Russia? Because as we know, Russia is famously hostile to various other faiths and ideologies.
Yes, Scientology is in Russia, and before the invasion of Ukraine, one of the Russians' favorite sports was to raid Scientology's orgs. One of their leaders was in prison for about 4 years. They've been deemed a corrupt financial fraud and a cult in Russia. The Russians do not like Scientology.
Does that create any sort of conflict in you? Because on one hand, you understand how toxic they are and you'd want to bring them down. But on the other hand, I guess you'd probably respect some semblance of religious freedom.
No. You misunderstand. No, I want them to. I don't believe Scientology is a legitimate religion at all. I do not believe it. Now, I have no problem with people practicing all the Scientology they want. I focus on the conduct. So that question aside, the Russians judged them based on conduct, and there was some financial fraud the Russians found.
Okay, and, well, Jeffrey, I feel like I've just opened a massive can of worms right at the end of our discussion. So maybe at some point, hopefully you can come back and finish your thoughts on that. But I want to thank you for coming on and talking about this big topic. Maybe you can let people know where they can find more of your work if they want to check that out.
Sure. Again, it's ScientologyMoneyProject.com. That's my blog. And it's also on, I have videos on YouTube on the Scientology Money Project on YouTube.
That's wonderful. Jeffrey, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you for having me.
Take care.